I have thoroughly enjoyed myself with the services here and then also with the fellowship with Brother Ray. He and I, it's probably, for some, it might not make a lot of sense, but there's just something there that I can't even explain. He knew my dad, but I'd say I'm probably closer to Brother Ray than my dad was. I would think that would be an accurate statement. And it used to be known as the Appalachian Baptist Fellowship. And Brother Ray came and preached at that. This is going way back. This is going close to 20-some-odd years ago. And when he came, he and I I don't know for him, but for me, there was just an attraction there. And thankfully, we've been able to come up to the camp meeting, the Jubilee, every year. And we just praise the Lord for that. And just thank you for what you've done. I appreciate Brother Ray Stewart's friendship. Amen. And he is a friend to me. And anybody that ever get mad at Brother Ray, there's something just really wrong with that person. You know, I know he's not a perfect man, but how could you get mad at him? You might disagree with him, but to get mad at him, I can't even comprehend that. But if I lived anywhere close to this church, I would be inviting everybody I knew to come and be a part of this congregation. And you want to know what one of my reasons would be? Because of the pastor that you have. He is an incredible example to other pastors and to people. He is a wonderful pastor, and I thank God for him. I consider him my pastor. I'm going to ask if you would please open up your Bibles. Now, we won't talk about his wife, but I love her too. We were sitting today, and she was kind of ribbing Brother Ray a little bit today at the table, and I said, well, Brother Ray, it sure is good that you're humble. Amen. That's kind of just one of those inside things. But it was funny. It was funny. We had a good time. Can anybody tell me where we're going to turn at tonight in the Bible? Anybody want to tell you? First Chronicles, yes. Let's go there. First Chronicles, we might as well, as an old preacher I heard say, he said, I'm going to dance with the one who brung me. Amen. And let's go ahead and turn here to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to the Word of God. I know you just sat down, but I would ask you to do that. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Middle of verse 30, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I am thankful for what you've showed me. My desire is that when we leave here, if you see fit that we should go back to Georgia, that I would take from this meeting what you've taught me. I would also, God, take from the discussions with Brother Ray what you've taught me. And Lord, that I would God, that there would not be much discussion of me when I leave. But, oh God, that there would be great discussion of you and your word. And Lord, we pray that if we live to see Sunday, that if you do not, revival does not break out tonight, then God, that revival would break out Sunday at this place. And dear God, that place and those people that you have called me to pastor. And I ask you, God, to be merciful to me tonight. I in myself am unworthy, but God, because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he has done, and because of your calling, because of your indwelling, God, I have been made a preacher. And so now, God, I ask that you would again tonight Make me a good one, not just a preacher, but Lord, make me a good preacher tonight. God, fill me with your spirit. And Lord, help me to say what you won't say it in a way, God, that pleases you. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, I pray, amen, and you may be seated. We know what is going on here. We have seen men gathering unto King David because they had understanding of the times and what their nation ought to do. I'm glad, thank God. I hope that when we leave here, come Sunday, come Saturday, come Monday, whatever the case may be, that we will be a group of people who have assembled here together, that we will from this day forth have a better understanding of our times, how it genuinely and really is during this time. Because the devil would have you to say it's a dark time. The devil would have you to say it's a desperate time. The devil would have you to think it's a disastrous time. But the truth of the matter is, all of those things that the devil is telling us are true. But just like always, he only tells half of the story. He leaves out the part, yes, it's dark, but that means a little light will go a long way. Amen? We are living on the brink of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. We're living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, just here, the real king, the anointed king, the true king is about to take the throne. He's about to come back. When he comes back in the clouds, we're leaving. We're going to be with him there for about 7 years, amen? And then we're going to come back and he is going to rule and reign from the throne of David that was established forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we're seeing here that David, in talking to his leaders, he says, here's what I think we ought to do at a time that we're in. We ought to go get God. What did they do? Let's look over in verse number 3 of chapter number 13. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. He is saying we need to go get the presence of God. This ark of God represented the promises of God because it contained the covenant. It represented the personality of God because it was covered by a mercy seat. It represented the presence of God, amen, because the fact is God said, if you'll build it the way I tell you, I will meet with you there, amen. I'm glad that we can go and get God. We can get back in touch with God because we have His covenant. We have His word on the matter. We will find Him merciful and full of mercy and the full extent of mercy when we go back to God. And we can experience the presence of God when He comes into our presence. Can I get an amen? Amen. But let me ask you this, friend, what are we going to do when God shows up? I want us to look at what David did. Well, we know about the new cart and all that, but he got that straightened out. He got the Levites sanctified. He got them taking responsibility. He got them ready to clean themselves up and willing to come under the burden again. Amen. That's what we preached on last night. And so I hope that that's where we're at tonight. And then here's what happened. They came. Look at verse 25 of 1 Chronicles chapter 15. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and a hard name, the master of the song with the singers. You say, where'd you get that at? I learned that when I was a little boy. There was a man in our church. I can't even remember his name, but I just know that every time my dad would have him to read during Sunday school class or something like that, he'd come across a hard word, he'd just say hard word and move on. Amen. And the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. We got this straight last night. Sanctification precedes shouting. Can I get an amen? Oh, I didn't get an amen. Don't make me preach that message last night. Don't make me preach it all over again. No, we learned something last night. Sanctification, getting alone with God, precedes shouting. Shouting without sanctification is merely sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Singing in the Spirit is preceded by sanctification. I have heard singers sing. We heard some of the best singing that you'll hear in the South at this church. This church is loaded with talent. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference in good singing and godly singing. There's difference in good singing and the power of God on the singing. Amen. That's good preaching, even if I'm doing it. Amen. And it came to pass, verse 29, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Now, we've been on a long road all week long, and tonight I want to preach to you on this thought. I dare you to dance. I dare you to dance. Or shall we say it this way? Shall we dare to dance? In times like these, should we dare to dance? Come on now. Look how bad it is, preacher. Well, should we dare to dance in times like these? Look at the economy, preacher. Should we dare to dance in times like these? Look at the way our political system is. Should we dare dance at times like these? The Bible says this, David, I didn't write it, David danced before the Lord. Now, it wasn't the foxtrot. It wasn't the waltz. It wasn't the bump. It wasn't the mashed potato. It wasn't the twist. Now, some of y'all look at me like, I've never heard of anything like that. I have been so right with God ever since I have been born. I have no idea what you're talking about. I am talking to those who were lost before they got saved. Y'all have an idea of what I'm talking about. Amen. No, it wasn't that, but when I looked up the word dance, it meant that there was some twirling going on. There was some motion going on. The Bible says that he danced before the Lord in the book of Samuel. We're going to get there in just a minute. In the book of Samuel, says that he danced before the Lord with all his might, is what it says. See, David danced before the Lord. Let me say to you, friend, let me share something with you. Sometimes you will have to dance alone. Can I get an amen? Sometimes you will have to dance alone. I can't think about this. Y'all humor me, if you would please, for a carnal moment. I hadn't always been saved, Brother Ray. When before I got saved, you want to know where I might have been on a Friday night? Where some of y'all might have been on a Friday night. After the football game, correct me if I'm wrong. After the football game, they always had a high school dance. I would find myself at the football game, and then I'd find myself at the high school dance. I wouldn't recommend it, but I can't deny it. It's a part of my past. I had a buddy. I know y'all are too sanctified and too holy. I'm going to try to find me somebody down here who remembers what it's like to be lost. Amen. And's glad they're saved. Amen. Listen, I had a buddy whose name was Ed. Now, Ahab was a dancing fool. He was a dancing fool. Stand up, Brother Tim, if you don't mind. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to make you dance, all right? I'm not going to ask you to dance, all right? But my buddy Ed, now this was me. Now look at me and look at him. This was me and Ed all through high school. Short and squatty, tall and skinny. We looked like the number 10 everywhere we went. You can sit down, my brother. He was tall and skinny, but I'm telling you what, he was a dancing fool. You say, what do you mean he was a dancing fool? Well, Ed, I'm kind of reserved, Brother Ray, even though I was at the dance. To be honest with you, I never did much dancing. We ain't going to talk about my wife. Now, my wife, she was voted the best dancer in our high school, but we ain't going to talk about that. Oh, I should have never said that. Chris saying, you should have said that. These people thought I was holy and thought that I loved the Lord all my life. No, no. Honey, we're among, they're sinners here too. Amen. But listen to me. Ed was a dancing fool. You say, what do you mean? Ed would dance alone. What do you mean he'd dance alone? I mean Ed would dance alone. You could be standing around talking, and you would be talking to somebody. You know, well, I better be careful. I can't talk to you two. I might get him in trouble. You know, I'll talk to Josh. You know, you could be standing there trying to make a little time with the girls. You know, you don't know. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You know, trying to get their name, trying to get their phone number, trying to figure out who they're going with. Mark, you know. Mark's standing here looking out of the corner of his eye saying, man, I hope he walks by my pew and don't even talk to me. You know. Yeah, he knows. All right. You're standing there trying to talk to these girls, trying to lie to them is what you're really doing. You're trying to make yourself to be something more than you really are. And Ed would be standing behind me going. And I turn, what are you doing? What are you doing, Ed? And by the time I turn back around, Ed's gone. Why? Because Ed just danced by himself. He didn't care. Sometimes you'd find, I'm telling the truth. Sometimes you'd find Ed over in the corner, nobody around him. Brother Ray, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, we were at the IGA in Richlands at the grocery store getting us something to eat one night. Ed, this was back in the day before the iPod. Some of you young people, I'm going to lose you, but I'm going to grab a hold of those who grew up in the 80s. Ed always carried around with him a kaboom, kaboom, boom box, kaboom. Kaboom, boom, box. He always carried around with him. And you know what? Something else about Ed? If he didn't have a boom box, you'd find him. Yeah. We're over there at the IGA in Richlands. I'm trying to get something to eat. The next thing I know, Ed has set his boom box on the sidewalk. And is anybody know what I say when I talk about doing the worm? I'm corrupting everybody, and I don't mean to. Got a little one on the front going, oh, yeah, I know it, yeah. He did the worm across Main Street Richlands. Traffic coming, he's doing the worm across the road. Traffic stopping, watching my buddy Ed do the worm. You say, what's that got to do with anything tonight? I'm trying to make my way back to the message right now. Sometimes, friend, you're going to find yourself dancing alone. I wonder, would any of us here tonight dare dance in times like these? Would any of us dare dance before the Lord in times like these? Would any of us be the one over in the corner just dancing in times like these?
You say, why? Because there's going to come times when you look around you, there ain't nothing worth dancing about. But there's something going on inside of you that you don't care about what anybody else thinks for the moment. You're going to just go ahead. If I got to dance alone, I'll go ahead and dance alone. Ladies and gentlemen, David danced before the Lord. Let me ask you a question, friend. If God swept through here, if the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon this place, would we sit here on our hands? Or what are we going to do if God does bring revival? What is our spirit going to be if God does bring revival? How are we going to behave ourselves if God does bring our revivals? Is this group going to care about what this group thinks about them? Is this group going to care about what this group thinks about them, and vice versa? Are we going to get so in touch with God that we don't care what anybody else thinks about us? God, you just pour it on us. God, you just bring revival to us. Hey, if we got to dance alone, God, we'll dance in your presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just bring it. Amen. Amen. Y'all better watch out. It's Friday night. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I want you to notice, number one, what David did. Number one, he danced. Number two, I want you to notice where he did it, before the Lord. See, I don't know. I pray to God. I've been in this building before, Brother Ray, when there's people running and shouting and praising and jumping, and I think that happened at this year's Jubilee from what I hear. But it never happens to anybody who cares about what everybody thinks. It never happens to anybody who cares about what everybody thinks. Look at where he danced. I want you to know what he did. He danced. Number two, I want you to notice where he did it. And David danced before the Lord. You say, oh no, he didn't. He danced out there in front of everybody. He jumped up there in front of everybody. Yeah, he was in front of everybody. But as far as David was concerned, he danced before the Lord. And let me share something. Oh, I got to move on. Let me run down here. I'm about to take off again. Come down here. I want you to look down here. I'm over here in 2 Samuel chapter number 6. And I've done been to verse number 14. Now I'm moving on down here to verse number 21. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. Why did he say that to Michal? Because Michal, his wife, didn't like his dancing. May I say to you this, friend? Sometimes you will have to dance alone. Number two, there will always be someone who misinterprets your dance. There will always be somebody who isn't dancing, somebody who isn't going to dance, someone who doesn't want to dance, someone who doesn't have any dance in them is always going to misinterpret why you're dancing. She said, you have acted the fool. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm putting it in Grinstead terminology. You have acted the fool in front of the maids and in front of the other people. And he said, I want you to understand something. It was before the Lord. The Bible records in verse number 14 of chapter 6 that David danced before the Lord. It meant he was in front of the Ark of the Covenant, but he was also in front of the Lord. Then secondly, when he identified who or where he was dancing, he identified, I was dancing before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there is enough evidence here to look at it this way. God saw it as it was before him. David saw it as it was before the Lord. His dance should not have been misinterpreted, because his dance was something between him and the Lord. Amen. I used to think everybody ought to act like me. I've given up on that. Everybody shouldn't act like me. God didn't make us all the same way. Thank God for that. But here's the reality. There ought to be something going on inside of you that makes you want to dance before the Lord. I'm not talking about this charismatic mumbo jumbo nonsense. We dealt with that last night. But I'm talking about after you've just come from the throne room of God, after you've just been separated unto God, after you've just went back to the mercy seat and found Him merciful. I'm talking about when you have gotten back in touch with the one true holy God, and He has loved you. He has accepted you. He has brought you back in. I'm telling you something, my dear friend. There's something stirring you, and you won't care what anybody else thinks. Why? Because it's between you and the Lord. It's always been between you and the Lord. Dance alone if you have to. I don't care, man. Don't you understand? It's Friday night. I'm getting in the car and heading out of here. I cannot let your lack of desire affect my dance. They ain't dancing like they used to among the independent Baptists. Well, I know, but I didn't come to the independent Baptists. I came to the King. And in times like these, Brother Ray, let me say this to you. In times like these, we ought to dance. Let me show you why. Let me look. Let's move on. Y'all still with me? Hope I hadn't scared you away. I hadn't spoken tongues yet. What he did, he danced. Where he did it, before the Lord. Hey, why did he do it? Look at verse number 15. And so, I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Verse number 16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. You want to know why he danced? Because the Lord came in. Now, have you ever considered the Lord's attitude about this? Have you ever considered he's thinking, I'd come, but I came before, and you didn't dance. I moved in your situation before, and you didn't dance. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about when you were laying in that hospital bed, and you went through those doors that no one could follow you into, and they shut behind you. The loved ones had to stay on the outside. The pastor had to stay on the outside. And you went into a cold, dark room, and there was only one person who really could go beyond those doors, only one who had authority and was authorized in your little party, and that was the Holy Ghost of God. And he came in to your situation. They said it was hopeless. They said, They said it was hopeless. They said it was helpless. The demons of hell said, oh, she'll never dance again. Yeah. But God Almighty brought you out of that. God Almighty restored you to good health. God Almighty restored you to good strength. Let me ask you a friend, when he moved in your situation, how did you handle it? Well, I said, okay, thank you, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless everybody. Thank you for your praying. I'm going to get back to my routine. Come on now. I'm not trying to get ugly. I'm trying to help, amen. Hey, how many of us here tonight, if we're going to be honest, how many of us here tonight have been in dark days in our marriages? And if God had not done something, it was over. The D word had been used. It had been discussed. It had been talked about. It had been more than thought about. It had been talked about. They had done. You had done sat down calmly and started thinking, how are we going to divide this thing up? How are we going to work this out? How are we going to make it? How's this going to go with our children? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, but God moved on the scene. And before you knew it, you was loving each other again. You was holding hands again. You was kissing again. You was deciding to stay instead of thinking about going. It wasn't you that did that. It was God that did that. God moved in. Let me ask you a question. Did you dance? When it was over, there may even be some men here tonight, as far as you thought your ministry was over, you were done. You had gone the last mile. Your race was run. Anybody listening? He was through with you. He wasn't going to use you anymore. But then, all you know, you can't even explain it. Just like the discouragement came, the discouragement left. The discourager left you. The encourager came alongside you and kind of suckered you and said, brother, you can go a little bit farther. You can teach that class a little bit longer. You can sing in that choir a little bit longer. You can preach that word a little bit harder. I tell you, friend, that wasn't you. That was the Lord coming into your situation, just like the Lord came into David's city. The Lord has come into your situation. Did you dance? Did you dance? Well, let me ask you, friend, if he comes again, we agreed, one of us, well, not one of us, I think most of us agreed the other night that we ought to go get God. Well, what in the world are we going to do if God decides to come into our situation? What are we going to do if God decides to come into our church? I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to dance before the Lord. We ought to dance before the Lord. Oh, don't misunderstand me, sir. You might have to dance alone. Your wife might not understand right now, but you go ahead and dance alone. Don't misunderstand me, ma'am. Your husband might not understand right now, but you go ahead and dance alone. Don't misunderstand me, teenager. All the other teenagers, oh, listen to me very carefully, teenagers. All the other teenagers in the group will think you're a fool. Well, you go ahead and say, well, I'm a dancing fool. You go ahead and say, I tell you what, God's done too much for me not to acknowledge how great He is. He danced before the Lord. Why? Because the Lord came into His city. The Lord came into His situation. Let me say this too. I want you to look down here at verse number 21. Turn with me there. I'm still in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21. Now we know what happened. Michal hated him. She was the daughter of Saul. She had no problem with her father's kingdom, but she had issue with the new king. Are you listening? She had issue with the new king. Because why? Not because he was going to be rich. Not because he was going to be the most powerful man in the nation of Israel. Not because she was going to get to go back to the palace and live in the palace like she did when she was Saul's daughter. Not because she was going to get to wear the royal robes like she had done in the past when she was Saul's daughter. Can you imagine Michal's dilemma? She was King Saul's daughter and given to David because he slayed a giant, and everything was good, as long as everything was good between David and Daddy. But when things went bad between David and Daddy, where did that leave Michal? Huh? Where did that leave Michal? Now her husband's on the run. She might have been okay. Have you ever considered that she thought, maybe my daddy will kill him and I'll get me a new man? Anybody listening to me tonight? But it didn't go that way. And now all of a sudden her daddy's dead. There's a new king being crowned and he comes into town with God. Can somebody? He's bringing God back into town. We've already learned that her father did not inquire at God at all during his reign. Can I get an amen? He went to sorcerers and witches and things of that nature. And so now David's coming back into town, and you know what he's doing? He's dancing like a fool. He's dancing. He's lost all of his dignity. At least my father had some dignity. My father didn't have God, but he had dignity. I would to God. I wish. My wife will probably never, ever take a lap. She will probably never, ever jump a pew. She will probably never, ever dance like a fool. But I sure do hope that she and God will have an encounter. I would much rather my daughters lose all of their dignity and dance before God than to be Miss whatever you want to say. I got a chance with my boy. I don't have a lot of chances with my girls or with my wife, but I got a chance with my boy, Brother Ray. He might end up being a dancing fool. Why? Because he can dance and he don't need God to make him dance. We'll talk about that later, son. Amen. Now, why the Lord came. Why was he dancing? Because the Lord came. But then I want you to notice verse number 21, and David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. who chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Verse 22, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidens which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Here's what he's saying, friends. He said, and if I want to, I'll do it again. You want to know what's going on here tonight, I think, among Gateway Baptist Church? Here's what I think's going on. Y'all need to learn to dance again. David said, I danced when the Lord came in. And he said, and I tell you what, Michael, I tell you what, you let me experience what I've experienced and the presence of God come back in again, and I'll do it again. Amen. I'll do it again. You say, well, preacher, we've seen. I know you've seen. The question is, what if God does it again? You going to dance again? Come on. This one lady back here, this sweet lady back here, has done made up her mind. She don't care what any of y'all think about her right now. She could care less what you think about her. She didn't shout. Let me say something to you tonight. She didn't shout because you saved her. She didn't shout because you've been paying her bills. She didn't shout because you've brought her through whatever she's gone through. She's shouting because Jesus stirred across her soul. A wind blew by on that pew, went across her soul. She said, I don't care what anybody else thinks in this place. I danced before. I'm going to dance again. And you let him do it again. I'll show you. I'll dance again. You let him do it again. I'll dance again. You let him do it again. I'll dance again. Amen. That's good preaching. Even if I'll never forget the day I was sitting in a basement of a church that didn't even have a top on it. We were trying to build a church. I was a layman in the church. We was trying to get something going for God, and all we could muster up was a basement. I'm sitting in this basement. Water, when it would rain, would run down the sides of those concrete block walls and under your feet. Am I telling it right, Krista? If you looked at us, you'd thought that pitiful bunch of fools up there on that hill trying to meet with God in that basement. But Brother Ray, I had never shouted before in my life. But all I know is I was sitting there one night. I got a big old dose of the couldn't help it. Can I get an amen? I can't remember what was being preached. I have no idea what was being sung. But before you knew it, I was up. And there's no other way to describe it. I was just dancing before the Lord. I didn't care who saw me. And you know what? You let him move like that again, and I'll do it again. You let him do it, I'll do it again. Every time he's willing to do it, I want to be willing to dance.
Yeah, David said, yeah, Michael. You watch me. I know I've embarrassed you, but I'll do it again. Yeah, I know I may have even upset some of the brethren, but you know what? I'll do it again. You let God do for me what he has already done for me, and I will do it again. I want you to look at Psalm 126, and then we're going to be done. Here's what needs to happen, I believe, with all my heart. I think God led me to this passage of Scripture. I wasn't even thinking about this passage. I asked Brother Ray, I said, Brother Ray, all week long I've known what to preach, but tonight I don't know. Brother Joshua, what time is it? 8:17. It is interesting how I ask him what time it is every night. It's either 8:13, 8:15, or 8:17. Always in that time range. Lets me know I got 15 minutes. I got 15 minutes. Why? Because it means I've been preaching so many minutes and I've just got so many minutes to get done. Now, I could preach until 9 and there'd only be about 5 of you saying, go ahead and preach. The other 200 will be saying, would somebody shut up that guy that keeps telling him to go ahead and preach? Amen. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Psalm 126, I want you to look at this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. We were like them that dream. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not poking fingers at your church. That is not my position. I would be wrong if I thought I could come in here and find the heart of this church in a week. Your pastor knows, though. But if I could make this assessment, if you are like every other Baptist church that I go into in the South, if you're like every other Baptist church, or if, let's say, if you're even remotely like the Baptist church I pastor, you need a turnaround. You've been watching the news like the rest of the world. You've been hearing the reports like everybody else. And you have had the same devil and the little imps that work for him following you around. And saying, this is the time in which you live. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. The church is going down. Friend, that is the most ridiculous lie that has ever been told. And what's even more ridiculous, it's the most ridiculous lie that's ever been believed. We have, do you not realize, friend, since the fall of Adam, we could get no further down. You could get no further down. Since the fall of Adam, the human race could get no further down. Not in this existence. The only place from here, the only place down from here is hell. Amen. The only place, since Jesus Christ was lifted up, if I be lifted up, the direction that the child of God has been headed ever since Jesus was lifted up, has been up. Amen. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The cross was on a what? Hill. Where at? On the outskirts of Jerusalem, which is up. Anybody listening to me? Friend, we have been on an up ever since we admitted we were down. If you've ever admitted you were down, you've been headed up. This trip you've been on has been an upward bound trip since you got your ticket. What are we going to happen? Well, the worse things get down here, the closer we are to going up there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants you to think it's going down. That's why you need a turnaround. That's the reason I was looking back there at the Paquette family. That's the reason our missionaries need a turnaround. That's the reason we as a whole, as the body of Christ, need to be turned around. Here's what happens when you get turned around. I'm going to say this and then I'm done, okay? God, Lord, help me. I will be done. I don't want to outstay my welcome. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Let me ask you a question. Do you think David ever dreamed? Do you think that David ever out there in those fields keeping sheep dreamed? Do you think that when that man came and anointed him, do you think he ever dreamed of what it'd be like to be king? Do you realize what the time in which David was living at the moment? Ladies and gentlemen, everything that had went wrong was getting turned around. Amen. Why did David dance? He was experiencing a turnaround. He was about to get to take the throne that he had dreamed about. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I could experience a turnaround, if we would allow God to turn our thinking, turn our minds, turn our hearts, we would dream again. Boy, I can remember, Brother Ray, when God first called me to preach. Man, you would not believe the auditoriums that I preached in. You would not believe the thousands upon thousands of people that I preached to. They were everywhere, and people were, and God was moving, and I was preaching, and then I'd wake up, and it was just a dream. You want to know what I do sometimes? Can I confess to you sometimes? Sometimes when I go to sleep at night, I drift off into sleep. You know what comes to my mind? For some reason, Brother Mark, I'm in front of big crowds, and I'm dreaming again. I'm dreaming about preaching to a lot of people. Not because I'm on an ego trip. I can't explain it. But all I know is it's a good thing when you get your dreams back. It's a bad thing when you've lost your dream, when you don't dream anymore. I don't know any man who's ever got into the ministry that didn't have a little bit of a dream. I don't know. I check up on Joseph. Check up on some of those fellas in the Bible. They had dreams, ladies and gentlemen. God spoke to them in their dreams. God don't have to do that now because I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and I got the Word of God, so He don't have to speak to me in dreams anymore. But it don't mean that I can't have a dream. Let me ask you a question, friend. Have you lost your dream? Are you still dreaming big? What's your dream for Gateway Baptist Church? I don't have a dream. You need a turnaround. Number two, y'all still with me? Then was our mouth filled with laughter. You know what will happen? The next thing will happen when you turn around? You'll just laugh. You'll get your happy back. You'll get your happy back. I don't know what happened to you happy. Happiness, I'm afraid, sometimes is based upon happenstances. Whatever happens to us affects our happiness. But what happens to our joy? We can keep our joy even when we ain't happy. Can I say amen? But if you'll experience a turnaround, you'll get your happy back. You'll get your laughter back. If you let the Lord help you see things the way they really are, you'll get your laughter back. I have had several conversations, with a lot of people in desperate situations, Brother Ray. And every one of them, without fail, every one of them that was depressed, they sunk into depression, and it was simply because they had got their eyes on the circumstance and had taken their eyes off the Savior. Preschool preaching. I know that you have been told all your life, you just need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, take your eyes off Jesus and let's see how that turns out. What happened to Peter really did happen, you know that, don't you? He really did take his eyes off the Lord and start looking at the wind. He looked at something that wasn't there. And what do you mean it wasn't there? Well, you can't see wind. You can hear it, but you can't see it. And the Bible says he looked at the wind. He was hearing something, and it made him see something that wasn't there. And he forgot that the Savior was in saving distance. And he cried, Lord, save me. And found out Jesus could. Amen. Why don't we just, wherever you're at, whatever you're in the middle of right now, the reason you can't dance tonight, whatever you're in the middle of, why don't you let God turn it around? Why don't you go ahead and take your eyes off what it is? You say, well, I've lost my job. I know. I got a lot of men in my church that's lost their jobs. I got men in my church that's lost everything. I got men in my church, friend. I don't mean this to sound boastful. My problem's bigger than your problem. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I've got men who've lost everything, Mark. I mean, everything. I know a young man who lost everything. This market crashed and this mortgage industry and all these houses crashed. He was 23 years old, brother, 23 years old, and I was already worth about $2.5 million. Lost it all. Lost everything, Brother Ray. Lost all the houses. Lost the cars. Lost his furniture. Lost his wife. In the middle of it all, he lost it all. I got another man who lost it all, Brother Ray. Lost it all. Lost his house. Kept his wife. Lost his house. And let me show you the difference between those two men, Brother Ray. I'm almost done. Y'all hang in here. I'm almost done. One of them lost his eyes towards Jesus, and I don't know where he is tonight. The other one kept his eyes on Jesus. He lost it all. He lost his company. He lost all of his trucks. He lost all of his tools. He lost his big house. He lost it all, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. And you know what we're getting ready to do? We're getting ready to ordain him as the new full-time youth pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. What's the difference? One of them could never get his eyes back on Jesus, and he's still going down. The other one never took his eyes off Jesus, kept crying out to Jesus. And you want to know right now? He's on his way up. Amen. We need a turnaround, friend. We need God to restore to us our laughter. When was the last time you had a good old-fashioned belly laugh? I'm talking about laughing until milk runs out your nose. I'm talking about, oh, come on. I know it's a little gross, but it's kind of funny, too. Hey, I'm talking about a belly laugh. My little boy comes up to me every now and then, and I'm going to embarrass myself. He'll come up to me every now and then, and he'll say, Daddy, do it. And I'm saying, what? He said, do it. What are you talking about? He'll go, do that. That thrills him when I laugh in my belly. I'm talking about a belly laugh. It breaks my heart. I got to move on. I got to go. I'm running out of time. Your laughter will return, but not only will your laughter return, but your singing will return. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Ladies and gentlemen, your testimony will return. You'll dream again, you'll laugh again, and you'll sing again. And when you dream again, and when you laugh again, when you sing again, the heathen will start saying some things about you again. The testimony will return. Your testimony will return. As an individual, your testimony will return. As a church body, your testimony will return. I'm not saying you got a bad testimony, but I wonder, what is the testimony? I'm not trying to be mean or ugly, but if we walked around the streets of Bowling Springs tonight and we asked, how's things at Greater Heights Baptist Church? What would be, Gateway Baptist Church. I'm getting ready to preach Sunday morning. I'm already working on that. What would be the testimony of Gateway Baptist Church? Now, they're a little dry over there. I don't know. I don't go here. I've been around with your pastor all week long. I've been around with him. We've been bumping into people who go here and people who don't go here. And one thing, even the people that don't go here like him. I know his testimony. Amen. I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I've never been asked to preach a revival here, and I may never be asked to preach another revival here. I'm not trying to cause trouble. But I think it would be amazing what would happen if the entire church had the same testimony. Brother Ray, I don't even know how old he is. He's in those ish ages. Right, Brother Ray? Sometimes a fellow will think God's done because he can't do physically what he used to be able to do. He ain't supposed to be doing that no more. He's pastored y'all for 21, 22, 23 years. I was working my way up. 23 years. He's been pastoring y'all for 23 years. You all ought to learn something by now. You ought to have adopted his spirit by now. And so I'm asking you, what is the testimony of this church? I feel confident that Brother Ray is probably going to stand up here tonight and say, church, y'all got a good testimony in this community. And I have nothing to dispute that, but I want you to consider it. Something's going on over there at Gateway. God's moving at Gateway. Souls are getting saved at Gateway. Man, they're on fire at Gateway. The Lord's working over at Gateway. Something's going on at Gateway. Where are you going to be Sunday? I'm thinking about checking out Gateway. Why? Because I heard there's still people in your community that want God. And some of them have never been saved. Some of them are lost, but they're looking for some. They've already tried on the phony, and they're looking for the real deal. They're still out there. But I tell you what, if you experience a turnaround, look at what it says. It says the heathen will say God's been good to them. The church I pastor, y'all know that. Y'all remember me standing up. Y'all remember me standing up a few years ago and telling my little sad story. Y'all remember that? I stood up and I said, you know, us preachers, we get together at Jubilee every year and we all tell sad stories. And I said, this year I win. I got the saddest story to tell. We were right in the middle of foreclosure. I took a church in November, 6 years ago. I took a church in November. They voted me in November, and the bank showed up in December and said, are you Pastor Grinstead? And I said, sure I am. I thought I was speaking to a loan officer. I thought I had some negotiating still to do. I started talking to him. He said, well, I'm with such and such bank. And I said, oh, you are? I said, well, come on into my office. Sit down right here. Let's talk a little bit. And I said, oh, we got this going on, and we got this going on, and we got this idea coming. This thing, we got. And I was throwing ideas after him. Why? Because I knew we were in debt. But then he looked at me and said, Mr. Grinstead, I don't think you know who I am. And I said, well, who are you? He said, I am the president of collections for such and such bank, and you owe me $2.8 million. It's past due, and we want our money. I said, oh. And he said, I hate to inform you, Mr. Grinstead, but judging by our records, no one's going to give you a loan. Judging by our records, you're not going to get out of this. And the best thing for you to do is just calmly and quietly and nicely hand me over the title so we don't have to go to the courtyard steps, courthouse steps, and make this thing ugly. We're going to foreclose. Well, through a few things that God had done, we worked some things out. God worked some things out, and he worked some things out, and we kept hanging on to that place for a year, and we worked this out, and we worked this out, and we kept paying. My interest only. Listen, y'all with me tonight? I'm going to get out of here. I lied. I'm going to preach longer than 15 more minutes, okay? I didn't mean to, but I'm going to. If you got to go, you got to go. I'm going to brag on Jesus for just a little while. My interest only, my payment alone, interest. I kept saying mine because I seemed to be the one feeling the pressure. He was in my office, nobody else's office. $22,000 a month. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but $2.8 million, it's a lot of money. It don't sound like much if you say it real fast, 2.8. But that's a lot of zeros. $22,000 a month. And I wasn't even making a dent in the principal. Well, it didn't get any better. And we came up here to that meeting, and I stood up and said, I win. And here's why I win. It's because when I go home, I'm putting a for sale sign up in my front yard. You ever try to grow a church with a for sale sign in your front yard? It don't happen. People don't come. They don't come to a church that's for sale. Not normal people. Crazy people come to a church that's for sale. People that hear that people are still getting saved over there, they come. We had 150 people saved, let me say this, 150 people added to the church my first year there. It'd be easier to tell you the number of people or the number of Sundays we didn't baptize than to tell you the number of Sundays we did baptize. You know what? You know what was going on? God was still doing something. Well, needless to say, 12 days before they were going to foreclose, a Russian church, Slavic-speaking church, showed up and bought everything, paid it off. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm not in debt, but guess what? They bought our building. Where am I going to go? Through the process of it all, we probably have ended up losing close to 250 people, 250 members. And we moved to storage units. I'm talking about the kind that's still got the doors that you slam down. Brother Tingen has been there. Brother Tingen has been there, preached for us. And it's not the kind of place that church shoppers come to.
Won't you come visit us at church? Oh, where are you meeting? Well, do you know where Sawney Ballet is? Yeah, we're meeting under them. What? Yeah, you ought to be there on Wednesday night when tap dance is going on. First night we're in there in that building and I'm getting ready to preach. It's on a Wednesday night and they started tap clants. I thought the horseman of the apocalypse was coming in the building. I'm like, what was that? And one of the boys in the back said, "Preacher, they're just having tap class. Keep on going." Yeah, it's been interesting. It's wonderful when you're preaching and the neighbors flush their commode. It'll make you shout hallelujah. You're trying to preach and all of a sudden, whoosh, right over top of the organ. Whoosh. Yeah. But Lord willing, God being our helper, before December, we're going to move into, Brother Ray, we're going to move into a good building, a nice building, big building. For anybody that understands anything about square footage, this might impress you. I don't know. We lost it all. We lost it according to the devil and everybody else, except for a handful. We lost it all. About a year later now since we moved out, it's a little over a year now, it hadn't been much over a year, we're getting ready to move into a 53,000 square foot building. Estimated value, over $5 million. Who does stuff like that? God. God. See, if you go to our little town and say, "Have you heard anything about Greater Heights Baptist Church?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah. The preacher's crazy." "But you ought to see, you ought to see them buses come rolling by here. You ought to go over on Post Road and see the building that they're built. Y'all see, we have people during the building process, we have had several people come by, and it would be on a Wednesday night. We've been having our prayer meeting and then working on the building on Wednesday nights. And they've been coming through. We've had people, "We're just coming in to have prayer meeting with you." "Well, here's a hammer. We've already prayed. Here's your hammer. Here's your paintbrush." You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying that if you keep your eyes on Jesus, let him turn you around. You know what will happen? Your testimony. Your testimony. They will say God's done great things for them. I'm going to close with this. Look at what it says here. "The Lord hath done great things for us," verse number 7, "whereof we are glad." This is the verse that you see when you come into our little building. It says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Verse number 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let me close with this. Not only if you get turned around, you'll get your dream back, you'll get your joy back, get your song back, get your testimony back, and then you'll get your purpose back. Why you exist as Gateway Baptist Church will become very clear to you again. It's amazing how many Christians have forgotten why we were left here. It was not to make money. It was not to build big houses. And I'm not against any of those things. If God wants that for you, praise his holy name. But that is not why we have been left. Our one purpose is this, is to save sinners from hell. That's why we're here. You'll get your purpose back. When was the last time, dear friend, you led someone to the Lord? Say, "It's been a long time, preacher." You need a turnaround. Would you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed? I hope that I have not hurt or damaged tonight. David danced. You want to know why David danced?
because it all got turned around. Everything that had went wrong got turned around. God had turned his situation around. Things got turned around. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for Brother Ray. I thank you for his dear wife. I thank you for this church. It is not my desire, oh Lord, to hurt in any way. I thank you for them. Lord, as far as I know, they have a great testimony in this community. But, oh God, if anything, Lord, if just please speak to hearts, because you know hearts. You know their needs. And I ask you to speak to hearts. God, help us. Help us dare to dance tonight, Father. Help us dare to dance. In times like these, Father, help us to see things the way they really are. And help us to not be a pessimist, but God, an optimist. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, I pray. Amen.